السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 78 to 83 today of Surah An-Nisa. We'll start with the word meanings, beginning with ayah number 78. Inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أينما wherever تكونوا you all are. كن means to be. The ta in the beginning means you, and vowel alif in the end makes this word plural. So تكونوا you all are or you all will be. يدرككم. Idrak is the root word, and that means to overtake something. Okay? So you, in the beginning, tells us this is in the third person. Yudrik will overtake, kum, all of you. Al-maut, the death. Walau, wa means even, lo, if. Kuntum, kun, were or are. Tum, all of you, fi in burujin, towers or fortresses, mushayyada, strong or fortified, high. Wa and in, if tusibahum, tusib, it reaches hum, them, hasanatun, any good. Yakulu, they say. Kul is the root word, and that means to say. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and vowel alif in the end makes this word plural. So it means they, and then say. Hadihi, this, min, from, indi, near, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and in, if, tusibuhum, it reaches them, say yi'atun, an evil or a misfortune. Yaqulu, they say, hadihi, this, min, from, indika, indi, near, ka, you. Kul, say, kullun, all, min, from, indi, near, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa mali, fa is the prefix meaning so, mali, what is for. Ha'ula'i, these, al-qawm, the people. So famali kind of means what is wrong with these people or what is the matter with these people. So famali ha'ula'i, so what is for these al-qawm, the people? La na yakaduna. Yakaduna means they come near or they come close to. Yakada means to begin to do something, and una makes this word plural. So they are near or they come close to. Yafqahuna, understanding. So yafqahuna is actually they understand or comprehend, because it begins with the ya and una ending makes the word plural. Haditha, any speech or word. Ma, whatever. Asabaka, asaba, reached. Ka, you. Min, from. Hasanatin, any good. Fa, so, min, from, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa and ma, whatever, asabaka, reached you, min, from, sayyi'atin, any evil, or anything bad. Fa, so, min, from, nafsika, nafs means soul, ka, yours. So, nafsika, yourself. Wa and arsalna, arsal, sent or appointed, na, we, ga, you. Linnasi, li means for, al means the, nas, mankind or people. Rasula, a messenger. Ba and kafa is sufficient. Billahi, bi, in this case means definitely. Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shahida, as a witness. Man, whoever, yuti'i, he obeys. The ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. So he obeys ar-rasul, the messenger. Fa, then, qad, in fact, ata'a, he obeyed Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and, man, whoever, tawalla, he turned away. Fama, fa, then, ma, not, arsal, sent or appointed. Na, we, ka, you, alayhim. Alay, upon him, them, hafidha, a keeper or a guardian. Wa, and, yakuluna, they say, ta'atun, complete obedience. We learned this word before too, when we learned about ita'at of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means to obey, to follow. So ta'atun, complete obedience. Fa, then, ida, when, barazu, they appeared elsewhere. This is in the third person and it's plural because it ends in vowel alif. So they appeared elsewhere. Or they left. Okay, so fa'idha, then when, barazu, they left or they appeared elsewhere. Min, from, indika, indi, near, ka, you, bayyata, spent the night plotting. Ta'ifatun, a group, minhum, min means from, and hum, them, ghayra, other than, or besides, alladhi, that which, taqulu, you say. Ta in the beginning means you, and kul means say. Wallahu, wa, and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yaktubu, he writes. Kataba is the root word, and that means to write. Ya in the beginning means he. So he writes, or he records. Ma, whatever, yubayyitun, they spend night plotting. This is the same as the word bayyata, but bayyata was singular. Okay? And it referred to the whole group. So the whole group spent the night plotting. Here, ma yubayyitun, whatever, they spend the night plotting, because the ya in the beginning is in the third person, but una tells us this word is plural. So they spent the night plotting. Fa'arid, fa, so, arid, turn away, on, from, home, them. Wa, and, tawakkal, trust Allah, upon Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and, kafa, he is sufficient. Billahi, be definitely Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wakila, as a disposer of affairs, as a trustee. Afala, a in the beginning is used to ask a question. Do, fa, then, la, not, yatadabbaruna. Tadabbar means to reflect. Okay, to think deeply and reflect, to ponder. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person. Una ending makes this word plural. So yatadabbaruna, they reflect or they consider. Al-Qur'an, the Qur'an. Wa, and, lo, if, kana, it was, min, from, indi, near, ghayri, other than or besides, Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lawajadu, la, surely, this is lam fatala, there's no alif after it, or it would have meant the complete opposite. So please keep this la very short when you pronounce it. Wajadu. Wajada means to find, and waw alif in the end makes this word plural. So la wajadu, surely they would have found, fi, in, he, it, ikhtilafan, contradictions, kathira, many. Wa, and, idha, when, ja'ahum, ja'a, came to hum, them, amrun, any matter, min, from, al-amni, the peace, or security, aw, or, al-khawf, the fear, Adao, they spread or they propagate it. Adaa means to call out, to spread. And vowel alif in the end makes this word plural. So adao, they spread, be with he, it. Wa and lo, if radduhu, raddu, radd means to return. And vowel sukun in the middle tells us, the middle of the word after the dhamma tells us this is plural. So raddu, they returned, hu, it, meaning the matter, ila, to, ar-rasul, the messenger, wa and ila, to, uli, possessors, or the ones with, al-amr, the authority, min, from, hum, them, la-alimahu, la, again, this is a short lam fatha, la, surely, alima, he knew, who, it, al-ladhina, those who, yastambituna, they deduce, or they derive, or they come to the right conclusions. Who, it, min, from, whom, them. Wa and, lo, if, la, not, fadlu, grace, or bounty, Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alaykum, alay, upon, kum, all of you, wa and rahmatuhu, rahma, mercy, who, his, lattaba'tum, la, again means surely. And please note that there is a silent alif in the text here after the lam, and that silent alif is not meant to be pronounced. Okay, it's just there as a base, and we don't pronounce it. We connect the lam fatha directly to the ta mushaddad. So it's lattaba'tum. So it's not la, or it would mean completely the opposite. Please don't stretch it, keep it short. La, surely. So lattaba'tum. Taba'a means to follow. So lattaba', surely would have followed. Dum, all of you. Ash-shaytan, the shaytan. Illa, except. Qalilan, a few. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Aynama takunu yudrikkumul maut. Wherever you may be, death is going to reach you. No matter where we are, in any part of the world, even if we're under the sea, or if we were to go hide in a cave, anywhere on the land or in the sky or in between, Einama, wherever, we cannot hide somewhere to escape death. Yudrikkumul maut, death will overtake you. This was especially for the hypocrites who tried to avoid going to fight in the way of Allah because they were afraid of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, no matter where you go and hide, death will reach you when it's your time. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Even if you are in fortified towers, the kind that are very strong, where nobody can enter, even if someone were to completely isolate themselves somewhere, death will still reach that person. And nobody can deny that. Even disbelievers admit this, that death will overtake each one of us. It's going to reach all of us. And the difference between a believer and a disbeliever is that the believer prepares for death ahead of time. And the disbeliever doesn't do that, since they don't realize that it is going to happen. And when they go, they're going to leave all the belongings that they have behind. Okay, they don't really think about it much. And they don't understand the fact that all the belongings of that deceased person are left behind when he dies. Everything stays in this world besides that person. It's only that person who is gone, who dies. Okay, so once we understand that, it's easier for us to prepare for death. And that is why dunya is so qalil, it's so small compared to the hereafter. No matter how many blessings of this world Allah grants someone, it is still qalil. It's not kathir at all, it's not a lot. Even though it seems like it when we're alive, the goodness of this world, all the blessings, they seem like a lot, but it's not. As soon as death approaches, we will understand that the worldly life is very short. And once people die, there's no difference between people who were very wealthy in this life and the poor. They are all the same. Of course, the one who is better off in the hereafter is the one that had more taqwa and did more to earn Allah's approval. They're in a better state in the barzakh, in a much better state, subhanAllah. But besides that, there's no difference because they have all died, right? And the same thing is going to happen to each one of us. Whether you're wealthy or poor, it's not going to make a difference. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this one dua. Oh Allah, when people leave me in my grave and carry on with their work, continue with your love for me and grant me your companionship. SubhanAllah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who will be with us in our graves. Nobody else. Only if we have Him with us can we tolerate being alone in that dark, deep grave under the earth. We should take the time to try to imagine what that would feel like. And we should think about all the people who were younger than us and they were healthier than us. And they passed away already, even before we did, even before we have moved on. That makes us understand that death does not necessarily approach due to accidents or illnesses. Instead, those illnesses or accidents that people go through, they happen when it's time for our death. So even if we try to hide in strong forts, we cannot escape death. وَإِن تُصِبَهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And if reaches them some benefit, they say, this is from Allah. This is another thing the hypocrites did. They used to say, Allah has blessed us when anything good reached them. This is how a lot of Muslims are now too. That would be a good thing, right? But the thing is, they have Muslim names, but they're not practicing at all. They don't follow the rules of Allah at all. But when they're granted favors from Allah, then they say, oh, mashallah, Allah has blessed us. Even if they're involved in a business which requires the disobedience of Allah. Okay? They're involved in haram things. And then they say, oh, mashallah, this is from Allah. They say that Allah has made it successful for them. وَإِن تُصِبَهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ. And if any misfortune reaches them, any evil, يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. They say, this is because of you. They used the pronoun ka at the end of عِنْدِكَ, meaning you, to refer to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Astaghfirullah. They used to accuse him of not planning out things well enough when they suffered any kind of loss. They used to hurt his feelings and blame him for anything bad that happened, as if it was all because of him. Qul, say, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to respond to them. Kullum min indillah. Everything is from Allah. Nothing happens without the permission of Allah. He is the one who created everything. And all shur, meaning all evil. And He's the one who created all the khayr that's out there. All the good. It all comes from Him only. But there's a reason why shur comes to people like any type of evil, why it reaches people, and we'll learn about that up ahead, inshallah. فَمَالِ هَا أُولَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. So what is the matter with these people that they don't understand a word? What's wrong with these hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means here, that they don't understand a word or the words of Allah? So the word haditha in la yakaduna yafqahuna haditha, that word haditha can mean any of the two things. Either that they don't understand a word that they're being told, or the words of Allah. And whenever our predecessors didn't understand any part of the Quran, they used to cry over it, because they used to remember this ayah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the munafiqeen, meaning the hypocrites, don't understand the Quran or the word of Allah. So our predecessors, they used to be so worried that maybe they're hypocrites too, and that's why they don't understand it. We should also think that way when we don't understand it, so we can reform ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what's wrong with them that they don't understand anything? What was specifically mentioned in this ayah that the hypocrites could not understand was that all the good and evil that takes place comes from Allah. It's by the permission of Allah. They tried to blame Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for bringing bad luck or any type of misfortune, but they were wrong. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever benefit comes to you, O people, it is by Allah's grace. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. And whatever loss you suffer, it is the result of your own doing. Of course, the evil that comes to people is by the permission of Allah. But the reason why it comes is because of our bad deeds, because of our sins. When we sin, that sin brings about hardship, pain, or sorrow. It strikes us in that form, the form of a calamity or distress. So whenever we go through any misfortune, we should think about what we were doing wrong. We should focus on our shortcomings, our faults, and our mistakes at that time. We should never say that I didn't deserve this, or what did I do to deserve this? And it's very common for people to say that, right? But we should never say that. If we do, we're basically denying that we did something wrong, or that we are even capable of sinning or making a mistake. And we should remember that we are all humans. We all make mistakes. So instead of saying, oh, why me? What did I do to deserve this? We should say, we should admit that we made a mistake, and we should say, I have sinned. I made a mistake. When Yunus alayhi salam made a mistake, he admitted it. When he said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. There is no God but you. Glorified are you. Truly, I have been of the wrongdoers. He didn't say that, oh, it's no big deal if I left those people. They were so bad anyway. He didn't think that his mistake was small. He didn't try to justify leaving his people, even though they were disobedient to Allah. He was a prophet of Allah. And he clearly said, I was of the wrongdoers. I made a mistake. We should learn from his example and admit that we did something wrong. Instead of doing that, what do people normally do? They start blaming each other for the evil that afflicts them. They start blaming other people, and they get angry with others. They never admit that they were at fault themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another ayah of the Quran too, مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. No misfortune comes to you besides what you have earned, what your own two hands have earned. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرًا. And he pardons for so much. He doesn't seize us for all our sins and faults anyway. He pardons us for most of the things we do wrong. But whatever hardship does come to us is due to our own doing. We have to keep that in mind. But when we see others facing difficulties in life, what are we supposed to do then? At that time, we can't say that it's because of their fault or because they're sinful. Astaghfirullah. That's a very bad way of looking at it. When difficulties come to us, ourselves, we should think that it's due to our mistakes because I'm so sinful. When we see others going through problems, we should never think that way or say that. We should then say that that person is being tested by Allah. And even if that person had done something wrong for which Allah has put them in that difficulty, that is actually out of the mercy of Allah. It's a blessing for that person because it gives that person a chance to stop and reflect and reform. And whatever he was doing wrong, he can stop doing. That person then spends more time turning to Allah in worship. So it's good for him. And once he repents and draws closer to Allah, he is much better off than the way he had been before, living comfortably with his sins. At least he has realized and stopped doing what he was doing wrong. And Allah has forgiven him for those sins when he repents. On the other hand, if someone is on the wrong path and Allah keeps granting them even more happiness and success, that person thinks that they're fine just the way they are. Then he won't stop to think about what he's been doing wrong and how he can improve as a person. But this ayah makes it clear that when the hypocrites see someone in difficulty, they thank Allah that it's not them going through that situation. That, oh, I'm so glad it's not me. They look at things from a different perspective. They're just happy to not go through hardship, even though that trial might have purified them and helped them get closer to Allah. The hypocrites think there's good in what is actually bad for them when they're given respite and they're not seized for their things, for the things they do wrong, for their sins. They think they're blessed. Okay, but Allah is giving them respite. He's letting them go for some time and then He seizes them all at once, right? And they don't bother reforming because they're living in a comfortable state and they continue sinning. But the khayr or good that would have come to them if they had been tested would have been better. Even if it had been a problem they would have gone through, it could have been good for them in the long run, but they don't see it that way. So we should all remember that too when we go through problems. It seems like it's something bad when we're going through issues, but it's actually not if we turn to Allah in that situation and we remain patient. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes our sins when we're steadfast in those situations. That trial or difficulty helps purify us of sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives people for their sins even if they feel the least bit of pain. Okay, so of course, when difficult situations arise and we face those difficulties with patience and we remember Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins. Again, it's really wrong for others to say that people must have sinned when they're going through difficulties or physical pain. Okay, a lot of people say, oh, well, they must have done something that Allah did this to them. But we should think that Allah is raising their ranks when we see others going through tough times. And we should be sure that it's just a test from Allah for that person. Even our beloved prophets and the Sahaba, their beloved companions, went through difficulties. But we would never even dare to say that it was because of their own sins. Astaghfirullah. We are sure that those great people went through hard times because they were just being tested, and those tests elevated their ranks. And that's what we should think of for others too. So we should never accuse others of being sinful when hardships reach them. It can just be a trial that purifies them and brings them closer to Allah. But for ourselves, when we go through issues in life, we should try to figure out what we have done wrong. Maybe it's due to our bad manners when dealing with people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in difficulty. Or maybe it's mistreatment of others. Or chances are that we may not be fulfilling the rights of others, the rights others have over us, whether it's family members or neighbors or friends or humanity, the Muslims. Or maybe we were being unjust towards someone, unfair, or hurting their feelings. And it's also possible that we were not doing ibadah or the worship of Allah the way we should have been doing. So when problems come our way, we should pause and think all these things. And think, am I not doing my part when it comes to fulfilling the rights of others? Or am I not fulfilling the rights of Allah properly? What am I doing wrong? Then we should seek repentance from Allah, keeping our sins in mind. Sometimes people keep saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, all the time. They do tasbih and they keep saying astaghfirullah when they actually think they're perfectly fine, just the way they are. They don't think that they have done anything wrong, but they just say astaghfirullah. However, that's not the proper way to do tawbah, to turn back to Allah and repent. Okay, tawbah actually means to turn back and repent. So we have to feel bad about what we did wrong first and stop doing whatever it is we were doing wrong and then turn to Allah to ask for forgiveness. And then we have to start doing the right thing. Okay, and it also includes making the intention of not repeating that sin or repeating that mistake again. When someone reminds us to turn to Allah to do tawbah, when troubles come our way, we should never be offended and think, oh, are they trying to say that I'm so sinful? That's why they're telling me to seek forgiveness from Allah? We should never think that way. They're just reminding us. The Quran tells us that it does happen due to our own doing. Okay? Because we are humans and we all make mistakes. And sometimes we make very big mistakes. As soon as a problem arises, we should think about what it is that we have done wrong right away. And sometimes we are able to figure it out quickly by the help of Allah, by His tawfiq. And once we realize what our mistake was, we should do lots of istighfar then. وَأَرْسَلْنَاكَ لِلنَّاسِ رَسُولًا And we have sent you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a messenger to mankind. This is in response to what the hypocrites were saying when they accused Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of bringing them bad luck. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they don't face troubles because of him. He is told to tell people that calamities strike as a result of their own doing. And he was sent as a messenger from Allah. So he couldn't have possibly caused problems for other people. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your all-sufficient witness. Allah is a witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the message as he had been instructed. He conveyed the message to mankind exactly as Allah had instructed him to. He did his work properly as the Prophet of Allah. Allah testifies to this. And that is a great thing, subhanAllah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he's a witness, whatever is being said afterwards cannot be taken lightly. Once Isa alayhi salam saw a man stealing, and Isa alayhi salam called out to him and asked if he was stealing. And that man said in response, I hold Allah as my witness that I did not steal. But he was clearly lying. As soon as he said that, Isa alayhi salam said, Allah's name is the truth, and so is his testimony. What my eyes saw could have been a lie, but whatever you hold Allah a witness to is the truth. You have not done anything wrong. SubhanAllah. So he basically ignored what he had seen with his own eyes. And this teaches us that we shouldn't swear by the name of Allah unless it is absolutely necessary. We should really think about it and make sure that there's not even a hint of falsehood or anything wrong in what's being said. Because Allah's name is so great, we can't just use it whenever we feel like it. Secondly, if someone else swears by Allah, we should believe them. Take their word for it. Whatever they're saying, because they are using Allah's name, and His name is so exalted. It's okay if we have to go through any kind of loss as a result. Okay? Even if you know that you have a right to something that they are depriving you of, if they're using the name of Allah, swearing by Allah, just put up with it. Okay? We shouldn't ever say that we don't believe the person who uses Allah's name to swear. Like Isa alayhi salam said, "My eyes could have mistaken, but whatever you said using the name of Allah is the truth." So Allah is definitely enough as a witness. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the messenger of Allah, and he did what he was sent to do as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ. Anyone who obeys the Rasul, in fact, obeys Allah. Because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who orders people to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that whoever obeys his messenger has in fact obeyed Allah. And that means that he wants us to obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should actually highlight this ayah and the other ayah too that we've covered so far that told us to obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there are so many people who reject the hadith these days. Okay, so we should know these ayat so we can present them when needed to people who reject the hadith. Because they claim that the Quran is enough and hadith is not necessary, astaghfirullah. But then there's no way they can obey the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if they don't learn the hadith, if they don't believe in it. So it's really important to obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah tells us in the Quran that listening to Him is like listening to the orders of Allah. He tells us there. He tells us that here too in this ayah. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. So people who reject the hadith claim to follow the Quran, but they're not following it if they don't believe this part of the Quran, where Allah tells them to obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly. So rejecting the hadith is basically like rejecting the Quran. And when we obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do it because he's the messenger of Allah. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever obeys me has obeyed Allah, and whoever disobeys me has disobeyed Allah." So we can't say that it's not important to do something because it's from hadith and not from the Quran. We have to take the ahadith just as seriously as the Quran. وَمَا تَوَلَّى, and whoever turns away and doesn't obey the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا, should know that we have not sent you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a taskmaster over them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sent to make sure that each and every person believed. He was just sent with the purpose of conveying the message of Allah. Once he conveyed that message, it was up to people to accept Islam or not. We already read the part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that he would not be questioned about the people who end up in Jahannam. He will not be held responsible for them because he couldn't have forced people to believe. So he will only be questioned about his duty, which was to convey the message of Allah to mankind. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the leader of Medina, but he was told that he is not there as a guardian over people. Okay, he wasn't there to make sure that they accept Islam or force them to accept or obey. وَيَقُولُونَ طَاعَةٌ, and they say complete obedience. This means that the hypocrites said that they would completely obey, that they would be at the service of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they didn't actually do it. When we learn about the traits of the hypocrite, we should do our own self-analysis and try to make sure we're not like them. We shouldn't say that we obey when our actions prove otherwise, because that's what the hypocrites used to do. فَإِذَا بَرَزُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ Then when they leave you, بَيَّتَ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ Some of them meet together secretly at night to plot. غَيْرَ الَّذِي تَقُولُ Against what you have said. They say the exact opposite of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of whatever he had told them at that time. They spend the night sitting together plotting, and they didn't want the rest of the believers to find out, so they used to get together at night for that purpose. Even though they had said in front of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they believe, and they showed respect for him, as if they really honored for him to his face, they spoke against him behind his back at night, and against whatever rules of Allah he had told them about. They were two-faced. They spoke about him behind his back, even though they were so sweet to him in person. So we should think about this and make sure that we're not like that, that we act sweet to people to their face, and then we talk about them behind their backs. That's a dangerous character trait that the hypocrites used to have. So we should work on ourselves if we act that way. وَاللَّهُ يَكْتُبُ مَا يُبَيِّتُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala notes down all their plots, whatever they plot at night. This is what they had forgotten about. When they used to sit there plotting at night, that Allah knows, okay? And He notes down, He writes what they plot against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they sit there together, plotting at night. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam aware of what some of the people around him were doing. Okay, because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know the ghaib. He didn't know the unseen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to disclose information to him sometimes. So through this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that there were people around him who used to pretend that they were obeying him and used to be around him, and then at night they used to plot against him. So what was he supposed to do? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him next. Okay, he tells him how to handle this issue. فَأَعْرِدْ عَنْهُمْ Therefore, leave them alone. Now, note that he doesn't tell Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to confront them about this issue. He instructs him to ignore what they did and not make a big deal out of it. Why do you think he does this? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to just ignore what they were doing? So he wouldn't waste his valuable time and energy thinking about their negativity. He had such an important mission of conveying Allah's message to mankind. Subhanallah. So he couldn't let that negativity affect him or hold him back. He had no time to waste. So he couldn't sit there trying to clarify things all the time or question people or investigate to find out who did what. He had such a great task that he had to focus on. And this is what anyone who works for deen should do. Anyone who does anything for Allah. Okay, when people say negative things about them or try to plot against them, they should ignore it and stay focused on their own work. They should ignore whatever negative things are being said or done so they can use their time and energy positively in the way of Allah. They shouldn't waste time thinking about it so much or trying to find solutions to those issues because it's just not worth it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to turn away from them because it wasn't worth it. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ And trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why is this especially mentioned? Because when someone finds out or thinks that someone is talking about them or spreading rumors about them, it's natural to feel hurt or to be stressed about it. But Allah told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ignore those people and just put his trust in Allah. Trust Allah and know that nobody has the ability to benefit or harm anyone else, except by the permission of Allah. If people remembered this when they are in similar situations, they would feel at ease. When they remember that nobody can benefit me in any way unless Allah allows, and nobody can harm me in any way either unless Allah allows. I trust Allah. Subhanallah. Allah gave people a beautiful solution to this issue. Whenever they hear that someone's plotting against them or talking about them, when they do any work in His way, let them. And just think, Allah is with me. He will take care of this matter Himself. How can this person harm me just by talking about me, when nobody can harm anyone except by the permission of Allah? When we remember that, we suddenly feel content. And we know that He will do what's best. So we should trust Allah too, like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your all-sufficient trustee. He is enough for me as a disposer of affairs. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reminded that He will do whatever benefits you. Okay, that Allah will do whatever is good for you. He will stand up for you and prove to people how you really are. He will represent you and take action on your behalf. He will fight your case. This meant that there is no reason for him to feel uneasy or be worried when Allah is his wakila. Okay, Allah is there to defend him. And this is a message for anyone who takes Allah as the disposer of their affairs, that they don't need to be worried or be afraid. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why don't they research the Qur'an? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say here, oh, why don't they recite the Qur'an or study its word meanings or memorize the Qur'an or try to understand the ayat. Instead, He says, why don't they do tadabbar of the Qur'an? There's a big difference between just reading it and tadabbar. Tadabbar means to study it in depth, to stop and reflect and really think, and then come to a conclusion to figure out how that ayah applies to our own lives as individuals. So tadabbar is actually contemplation of the meanings, the purposes, and rulings of the ayat, not just reciting them for reward. Of course, we know that there is a great reward for reciting them, alhamdulillah, but the actual purpose is to do the tadabbur. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us this in Surah Muhammad, ayah number 24. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ قُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Okay, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't they reflect on the Qur'an? Am ala, or are, upon, kulubin, their hearts, akofaluha, seals or locks. So are their hearts sealed if they don't reflect on the Qur'an? Why don't they understand what they read in it? This means that we have to do tadabbur in the Qur'an. That's why it was revealed. But it's sad that we find it difficult to even take out the time to understand the basic things. So it's important to understand it in depth, and we have to work together to do it, get together to do this. We have to think about the ayat with deep reflective thought, and this is mandatory for all Muslims. We have to do this. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, don't you reflect on the Quran? Because if they did, they would not have done all the evil things they had been doing. They wouldn't have plotted against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at night. They would not have hesitated to go to fight in the way of Allah. And they wouldn't have disobeyed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Don't they understand what the Quran tells them? They used to believe in the Quran, but they said it was difficult to obey Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How could they claim to believe in the Quran when they didn't bother to understand it well? Because if they had understood it, they would have known that obedience to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a must. It's not by choice. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا. Don't they realize that if it was from someone other than Allah, they would find many discrepancies in it? How? Because if, for example, someone had written the Quran and that person continued writing it over a period of 23 years, which is the time period in which the Quran was revealed. If someone had continued writing for 23 years, that person's way of thinking would have changed over that time period. Because as we age, as we increase in knowledge, and we go through the ups and downs in life, our thinking changes. Right? The way we look at things changes. So if someone had different thoughts about something when they started out at a certain age, and 23 years later, they're not going to feel that way. Okay? It's going to be different when 23 years later when they finish up. Right? So if someone had written something one day and run back to it even 10 or 20 years later, they're going to think, oh, I didn't know enough at that time. Right? Or they're going to think, oh, I wasn't really sensible when I said this. I didn't know enough. I wasn't wise. People who keep diaries, who write in diaries, they actually laugh at some of the things they had written before when they read them again after a long time. Normally, we wouldn't even agree with a lot of things that we may have said or written many years ago, the way we felt about things, right? We don't feel the same way 23 years later. And we admit so many times that we didn't know any better at that time when we said certain things. That means that we start to disagree and contradict our own selves over time, right? So imagine if the Quran had been from a human or from anyone else other than Allah. There would have been contradictions in it. But we don't find any contradictions in the Quran at all. Whatever was being said in the beginning, during the early revelation period, was basically the same thing that we're told in the end, 23 years later. Okay, the same thing is taught in the last ayat that were revealed. There's no contradiction between the ayat that were revealed at first and the last ones, or the ones in between. They all convey the same message. So we should note this ayat down as proof for people who ask for evidence that this Quran is from Allah. Because if it had been from a person, the things that person says in the beginning would have changed over time. Okay? That person would not have said the same things 23 years later. Because people change over time. Sometimes non-Muslims ask for proof that this is the word of Allah. Or even Muslims at other times. So we should know, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهَا اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. And if it hadn't been from someone other than Allah, they would have found many contradictions in it. Then the Quran would not have been as it is. The way it's just so similar all throughout, without any discrepancies. And some people claim, even some Muslims, that there are contradictions in the Quran, astaghfirullah, and that's why they don't study it. But anyone who does tadabbur and studies the Quran in depth is easily able to figure out that there are no contradictions in it at all. The Quran actually challenges us to study it in depth and then point out any contradictions we can find, because there are none. And we don't need to be very knowledgeable of Islam to contemplate on the ayat, because the Quran invites everyone to do this. Everyone should do tadabbur. Of course, there are different levels of tadabbur, or contemplating the meaning of the Quran. There are different levels of contemplation, because there are normal people like us who do tadabbur, and then there are great scholars and mufassirin who do tadabbur also. And of course, their level of tadabbur is a lot higher than ours. They derive so many things from each and every ayah. From each ayah. Okay, so many things that they can derive. Unlike us, because we are able to do it at a very basic level when we try. But it's important for people to have the basic knowledge before they do the tadabbur. If someone doesn't understand the meaning or the tafsir, meaning the explanation of the Quran, the basic things, and then they try to contemplate after studying just a few verses of it, there's a chance of that person going astray. Okay, to avoid that, we have to learn the Quran with a teacher and study the ayat, understand them well, and then do the tadabbur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to understand once we spend more time with it. Okay, may Allah allow us to understand some of the inner wisdom and the beauty of the ayat so we can happily obey Allah. Ameen. And of course, it's impossible to understand all the wisdom in the ayat, but even a fraction of it can lead to our self-improvement. It can change our lives. وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاءُوا بِهِ. And whenever they hear news of peace or of any danger, they spread it quickly. This is a continuation of the ayat about the hypocrites, or the Muslims with a weak iman. Okay? They blended in with the rest of the Muslims when they were around Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they did things that showed their hypocrisy. Here we're told that they spread any news that they hear very quickly. We already learned that these ayat were revealed after the Battle of Uhud, and Muslims were fearful of the tribes who lived around them in Medina, because they could attack at any time. Since Muslims had lost that battle of Uhud, and they felt like the tribes around them didn't feel like they were as powerful anymore. They treated them as if they could just attack them. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Muslims on how to deal with the news or information they hear of a possible attack or similar things. The hypocrites are Muslims with weak iman, just like to tell everyone what's happening. Okay, they just want to come up with something. They want to hear something and just spread the news, whether it's a victory or news of peace that Muslims send back when they go somewhere. Or it's news of fear, any information that causes fear. They don't think about others and how that information would affect their state of mind. They just like to spread any information they hear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like this quality. This ayah was revealed when Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu heard that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had divorced his wives. He left his home to go to the masjid. When he got to the door, he heard people saying the same thing at the masjid. And we know that Umar radiallahu anhu's daughter, Hafsa, radiallahu anha, was married to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam too, so he was really sad to hear this. He wanted to make sure this was actually true before believing it, so he went to see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked him if he had actually divorced his wives, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him no, he had not. So Umar radiallahu anhu went back to the masjid, and he stood at the door. Okay, and announced the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not divorced his wives, and people were wrong to say that he had. That's when this ayah was revealed. It tells us that we shouldn't just spread things we hear like that. It doesn't have to be something of fear. It can be something good too. But we're not supposed to be restless and just spread any information as soon as we hear about it. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's enough for a person to be considered a liar if that person states whatever they hear without verifying that it's actually true. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned, a person who tells others something he hears when he knows it's a lie is one of the two liars. Because the one who told him that lie is a liar, and so is he for repeating it, even though he knows it's not true. So this is a very serious matter, so we should be careful with it. Allah has guided us about it. He says, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ. And if they would report it to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the responsible people among them, meaning they should have gone to ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ask if what they had heard was true. Or in other cases, when people spread news, they could go to the administration, the government, the professionals in that field who would know, okay, to verify that those news are actually true. And then what would happen? What would have happened in that case? لَعَلِمَّهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. Surely, it would have come to the knowledge of those who could draw the right conclusions. They would have deduced that it was not the truth. They were told to go to those people. So we learned that we're not supposed to spread rumors like that, whether it's through a phone call, a text, or a post on social media. And a lot of times people just forward messages that they receive without actually checking to make sure that they're actually the truth, even if it's news. Okay, there's always been people who like to spread mischief. But if we keep repeating the same news and spreading them, we spread fear among people. And we don't let them live at peace. When we hear something, we should let those who can decide, we should let them figure out if it is true. And then that person can tell people only as much as they need to know. They don't need to know every single bit, every detail. That's the only way people can live their lives peacefully, without hearing lies or things that make them afraid. We're not supposed to spread mischief or information that makes people distressed. This is what the hypocrites used to do. And now if we do it, we are acting like them now too. Okay, we have to verify that the news is whatever news piece of news we are spreading is actually true. And if it's going to benefit people, or if it's going to make them aware of what's going on, and it is necessary to know, then we should spread those news. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And if it had not been for Allah's grace, وَرَحْمَتُهُ, and His mercy, لَتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. All of you, with the exception of a few, would have followed Shaitan. Only a few of them would have remained steadfast. The rest would have just followed Shaitan, if it had not been for Allah's mercy and grace. Shaitan would have succeeded in making them feel hopeless, in despairing, or making them restless, and he would have led them away from Deen. They would not have been able to live in peace. That's why spreading any information we find out about, anything we learn, especially news that's not good, does make a big difference. It leads to a lot of stress. And if we take the word Amr from the beginning of this ayah, where it says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ, and when came to them any matter, مِنَ الْأَمْنِ, from security or peace, أَوِ الْخَوْفِ, or fear, أَذَاءُوا بِهِ, they spread it. So if we were to take that word amr to mean an order of Allah, a command of Allah, this would mean that if an order of Allah comes to you and you don't understand it, we should turn to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to find the answer. And how would we do that now? We would turn to the hadith and the seerah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to find out about it. Or who else can we turn to besides Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Wa ila ulil amr. The ulil amr, meaning the scholars in this case, right? If it means to follow an order of Allah, if we don't understand it, we either try to get the answer from hadith or the seerah, the life, the study of the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or we go to the scholars. They are the ulil amr when it comes to deen. Okay, so then we have to inquire about it from those who have a deep understanding of Islam, instead of just jumping to conclusions from one thing we hear from the Quran or Hadith. Many times people hear one ayah of the Quran being quoted out of context, okay, and they spread it. And they end up spreading false information about religion. Astaghfirullah. So we have to be very careful. This is not allowed. And we have to check with the ulil amr first. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma munzil al-kitab, sari al-hisab, ihzim al-ahzab. Allahumma ahzimhum, wazalzilhum. Rabbana zolamna anfusana, wa illam taghfir lana, wa tarhamna, lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.